The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. After he had fed the people, Jesus made his disciples get into a boat and precede him to the other side, while he dismissed the crowds himself. After doing so, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. Meanwhile, the boat, already a few miles offshore, was being tossed about by the waves, for the wind was against them. During the fourth watch of the night, he came toward them walking on the sea. When his disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified. "It is a ghost," they said, and they cried out in fear. At once Jesus spoke to them, "Take courage, it is I. Do not be afraid." And Peter said to him in reply, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." And Jesus said, "Come." Peter got out of the boat and began to walk on the water toward Jesus. But when he saw the strong wind, he was frightened, and beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Jesus immediately stretched out his hand, and he caught Peter and said to him, "O you of little faith, why did you doubt?" And after they got into the boat, the wind died down, and those who were with him in the boat did him homage, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus.
The teaching that I endeavor to offer in this homily time is an effort to bring us closer to the person of Jesus, to redefine ourselves in a stronger manner as followers of Jesus Christ. We live out our discipleship in a Catholic tradition, but our primary identity is to be a follower of Jesus Christ. So let me speak a little bit about Jesus Christ and where Jesus Christ should fit into our church and into our lives in a very personal way. Perhaps it might help to locate Jesus, to bring Jesus alive, by looking for a few moments at the historical Jesus, what we call the historical Jesus. It's recorded in history that in the first third of the first century, there was a rabbi from Nazareth, an itinerant preacher, a miracle worker named Jesus. And he walked among the people and he did miracles. And he died in Jerusalem. He was crucified. And then that's where the historical Jesus stops. It becomes the Jesus of faith, the resurrection, and post-resurrection followers of Jesus. Great act of faith, but there's an historical Jesus here. I think it's important for us to understand the historical Jesus. So let me offer a few moments of commentary about attaching ourselves to the historical Jesus. It might help if I allow your imagination to work and say, South Pasadena is Jerusalem. We are in Jerusalem here. Bethlehem is in Arcadia. It's just a few miles from here. Jesus spends little or no time in South Pasadena. The last week of his life is here. Here he will die. He will rise from the dead. The Pentecost event coming will happen in South Pasadena. This is where the last week of Jesus in his life is spent here in South Pasadena. Now, he'll come down occasionally for the great festivals of the Jews because he's an observant, devout Jew. But outside of that, 95% of his life is spent in Galilee, which is up there around Camarillo. It's about 65 miles north of here. So up around Camarillo, you have the Sea of Galilee, Nazareth, Cana, Mount of Beatitudes, Magdala, the home of Mary Magdalene, up there in Camarillo. All the 12 disciples of Jesus all come from Ventura County. They're all from up there. They're all from around the Sea of Galilee. And that's where Jesus lives most of his life, up there in Ventura County. And the Sea of Galilee is up there. It's a small body of water, 14 miles from top to bottom, about 7 miles across. In the time of Jesus, it was a very lively fishing industry. Today, it's more recreation, sports, recreation, summertime, vacation time. Lots of the Jewish people especially go to the Sea of Galilee for summer recreation. There's still some fishing, but not a lot of fishing. So that's where we'll locate. The Sea of Galilee, by the way, is the second lowest beneath sea level, the second lowest body of fresh water in the world. It's 700 feet below sea level. The Dead Sea, which is out there near Glendora, is 3 times larger than the Sea of Galilee. It's 34% salt, and nothing can live in it. And it's 1,400 feet below sea level, the lowest place on the earth. Anywhere in the world is at the Dead Sea. So this gives you some location about Jesus up there around Camarillo. Mount of Beatitudes is up there, Capernaum, Bethsaida, Sodom and Gomorrah, all up there. The Mount of Transfiguration, where Jesus transfigured, all up there in the Ventura area. Now we come to the Sea of Galilee. It's very common to have storms on the Sea of Galilee. It's so low beneath sea level, the air is very warm. And when the cold air comes in, it creates a storm. So there's a strong historical basis for the event which appears in today's gospel. It also is in John and it's in Mark. It doesn't appear in Luke, rather interestingly. There's a reason for that. So now let me look at the event. His disciples go in the boat by themselves. Jesus is not with them. And in the third or the fourth watch of the night, now the Romans divided night into 4 quarters, beginning at 6 p.m. to 6 a.m. Therefore, the fourth quarter was sometime between 2 a.m. and 6 a.m., which is important in the story because that's the darkest time of the night. And in the darkest time of the night, the waves are overwhelming and his disciples become very fearful, and Jesus comes walking on the water. And then Peter says, "If it is you, tell me to come to walk on the water." And Jesus says, "Come." And he walks on the water toward Jesus. But then he notices how high the waves are, how dangerous it is. And once he takes his eyes off Jesus and worries about the storm, he sinks. The core teaching here is, as long as his eye is on Jesus, he will walk on the water. He will be safe. His crisis happens when he takes his eyes off Jesus. And Jesus takes him by the hand. He says, "Lord, save me." Takes his hand, and Jesus goes into the boat. Biblically, the boat is a symbol of the church. We speak about the bark of Peter. The boat being the symbol of the church, and here we have 12 humans, very imperfect men, and Jesus in the boat with them. Now, what do we draw from this? I mean, what does this mean to us in our church or in our faith journey? Well, there are two books that should be of interest to us. And this one is the Book of Canon Law, the Church Law. There are 1,752 canons in this book. And they deal with everything: where you should be, what you should believe, what you can do, what you can't do. It's a book of law. It's important, but it's not as important as this book, which is the Bible, because this book is inspired. The Book of Law, not inspired. And in this book, we have 46 books in the Old Testament, the story of the Jewish people and their journey in faith, and all the prophets foretelling a messianic age, which we believe is fulfilled in Jesus Christ. And there are 27 books in the New Testament. The New Testament is inspired, and the Jesus of the New Testament in the inspired writing, not in the law, but in the inspired writing, is the same Jesus that welcomed sinners, that broke bread with the tax collectors, welcomed the outcasts, healed those who didn't deserve it, blessed those who hadn't earned it. This Jesus is the one that's revealed in divine revelation. The Book of Law has no meaning unless it expresses the Jesus of faith in the 27 books of the New Testament. We have to follow Jesus Christ. Now, the church is in some kind of crisis. It may well be that we're in the fourth watch. There is darkness around us, and the waves are high, and people are fearful. But Jesus comes walking on the water. And as long as we keep our eyes on Jesus Christ, he is the one that will save the church. He is the one who will redeem the people, not the law, not the institution, but the person of Jesus Christ. And as long as we are focused on the person of Jesus Christ, we will find our way through the storm. When we take our eyes off Jesus Christ and concentrate on our own efforts or the human institution, then we become fearful and we sink. Now, that's very important to keep in mind, because following the inspired revelation of Jesus Christ, there's an openness, there's a welcoming, there's a gesture of hospitality which doesn't appear in law. We are led by love, not by law. And therefore, all are welcome. Last week, a good friend of mine, a priest, sent me a book, which I just finished in the last couple of days. And it's called Embodied, by a fellow called Preston Springle. And he inquires in this book, how should the church respond to persons who are transgender or persons who belong to the community of LGBTQ+? How should the church respond? Should we follow a book of law? Or should we follow a book of love? And the book makes that inquiry. It may not be the best book on the subject, but it raises questions. It invites us to expand, to learn more. In reading the book, I learned how little I know. All knowing is a dangerous condition. When you're certain about everything, you can't grow. You can't expand. Your mind can't get bigger. Your heart can't grow. So when you read this gospel and you make this gospel come to life, when you go up to Ventura County and you walk with Jesus and you see how Jesus treats people, how Jesus blesses people, carries people without judgment, welcomes people without condition, that's the Jesus of divine revelation. So how should we in our families, and how should we in our church, or in all churches who follow Jesus Christ, how should we respond to people who we place on the margins? Jesus does not place them on the margins. We do. As long as we're following Jesus Christ, as long as we proclaim truly, with depth within our hearts, that we are followers of Jesus Christ, and we will live out our discipleship in the Catholic tradition, as long as that's our objective, and that's what we do, we will read the landscape with new eyes, with the eyes of Christ. The same Christ in chapter 4 in John's gospel that meets a woman who is married 5 times and living with a man who is not her husband. And he blesses her, makes no judgment. His kindness causes her to be converted. Chapter 8 in John's gospel, a woman taken in adultery. All the legalistic people condemn her. Jesus says, has no one condemned you? Then I do not condemn you. The same Jesus that the 23rd chapter of Luke's gospel you'll find this criminal who is being crucified with him. That's a remember me when you come into your kingdom. Jesus says, without condition, today you will be with me in paradise. How will you discover this Jesus Christ? You will discover Jesus Christ only in the fourth watch. You never know how much you're loved until you're in crisis. Who stands by you? Who understands you? Who forgives you? Who welcomes you when you don't deserve it? Who blesses you when you haven't merited? Who gives you a gift without asking for something back? Who in your life is a human representation of the living God revealed in Jesus Christ? We never know who Jesus Christ is in our lives until we find ourselves in the fourth watch. And things are dark, and I'm confused, and I'm empty, and I'm in conflict. And I say, now, let me get the book of law. But that won't solve it. Let me get the book of love. Somehow I will find a new sense of life, an understanding of my mission, a deeper understanding of who I am as a follower of Jesus Christ. I mean, this will change our families. It will change our churches. It will change all relationships to listen and to belong to the Jesus of faith revealed in God's word. Think about this in your own life. Who in your family, who is struggling in your life? Who do you need to forgive? Who is divided? Do you have a fourth watch experience? You're in darkness. We belong to a church in darkness. We're struggling. And we're struggling because we are emphasizing an institution. We're counting bodies and saying, do you go to Mass? Don't you go to Mass? Are you a follower of Jesus Christ? Are you forgiving? Are you generous? Are you honorable? Are you for real as a follower of Jesus Christ? That's a disciple. The only response we have to the fourth watch is Jesus Christ. He is the only one that calms a storm, that says, do not be afraid, don't be anxious. I am with you. My power, the power of Jesus Christ, is all I need to walk without fear in my life. Walk without fear. Walk without anxiety. Walk without judgment of others. Walk in generosity. Walk in kindness. Walk in forgiveness. That's what it means to follow Jesus Christ. So listen to the Word of God today. Take the Word of God. Enflesh the Word of God. Bring it to life in your families or in your churches or in your relationships. Bring the power of Jesus Christ to life. We are followers of the infinite God, infinite love revealed in Jesus Christ. We are saved not by law. We are saved by love. Remember, the arrow that's aimed at the mind does not penetrate the heart. Amen.